Some of you wouldn't do it. You just couldn't lie in God's house, could you? It's not right. It's good to see all of you. I want to welcome all of our visitors. Can we give our visitors a hand clap this morning? We're so glad to have all of our visitors here. You've blessed us by being with us in service. Let's get right into the message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this particular chapter has two major focuses. The first major focus of this chapter, Paul's teaching the church of Corinth. He's talking to them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many realize we have a gift in the Holy Spirit? Amen. He is our comforter. He is our guide. He lives within us, lives within our life. He empowers us. He equips us. And there are nine gifts that he speaks about. And he talks about, he uses a word called manifestation or manifest. And that is when what is invisible becomes tangible or seeable. To what you could not see before. How many realize that we are men and women that walk in faith? Faith is not based on what you see. Faith is calling those things that are not as though they are. It's trusting God when the doctor says it doesn't look good. It's believing God when your checkbook doesn't look good. It's trusting beyond the moment. It's seeing beyond your circumstance. It's having the ability to praise God in the middle of the storm. When things are not going well, faith sees beyond what is tangible. And what you see is the manifestation of something bigger than what you're going through. That's what faith is. And the first focus that we see is the gifts. And then the second focus, Paul is helping us understand the benefit of the body, of individuals within the body, and how important. Look at your neighbor and say, you are important. Every one of us in the body have value. How many realize that we're not all the eye and we're not all the ear? We're not all the foot or the hand. We are all a part of the body, and every single part in the body is important. It has intrinsic value. I'm a right-handed person. My right hand never stops me from eating. Every time I want to eat, it follows the routine of what the hand is supposed to do. It's a part of the body, but I don't try to feed myself with my foot. Sometimes I think I might have my foot in my mouth, but that's a whole other subject. But every part of the body. So those are the two major focuses of chapter 12. We're reading beginning in verse number 27. Now you are the body of Christ, members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Catch this in verse 31. It's really, really valuable here. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. But then don't miss what Paul is saying, because this is really vital to the message this morning. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Or I might even throw in there, I'm going to show you what is even more important than what you've just read. I'm going to show you something that is more necessary than the gifts. More necessary than all the things that I've talked to you about. I'm going to show you what ties everything together. What is more important than anything else? Everybody say the greatest gift. This, of course, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is our love chapter. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I have become of a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can even remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Got a video for you. Amen. I'm going to minister for a few moments on the gift of love always demonstrates. The gift of love always demonstrates. Over the last few weeks, I've really been praying about what even that word means, to demonstrate. We take from Romans 5 and 8, and we get an understanding of what Christ did for us, because the Bible says that he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us on Calvary. So the demonstration was Calvary's cross. It was the death of our Savior. And you have to understand with me that is the greatest gift. It is the greatest selfless act there is. But he did it to a people that didn't even want him to do it. The people that he came to, John writes and says he came unto his own, and his own wouldn't even receive him. They rejected this incredible gift of God. How many have found out that we from time to time get tainted? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you tried to be kind to somebody and then had somebody kick it in your face? And all of a sudden you think, you know, I just don't even want to do that again. I don't even want to try again. I've tried to be nice to people. I've tried to do something. My wife actually went up to a lady. We saw her at McDonald's yesterday. And my wife went up to her to see if we could help her. And she looked at my wife and said, "Get away from me. I don't want to be bothered." And so, you know, those types of things trouble you. And yet Jesus, who was beaten beyond recognition, who was crowned with a crown of thorns and beat on his back and pierced side and nailed hands and nailed feet, and yet he looks up into the heavenly and says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." That's a selfless act. And I find at really the core of humanity, one of the greatest battles that you and I face is selfishness. It's all about me. It's what I want. It's all about the things that I like. It's my plans, my agendas, everything that I want to do. And yet God would say to us, "I want you to be a people that will demonstrate my love." Because you and I understand that we didn't love God first, and somehow we gathered the attention of God by loving him. But then the reality is he loved us, and all we do is respond, and we return that love back to him. And more importantly, we return that love back to people. Amen. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love people like yourself. Love others. We know that's the message. And Jesus would say to us in Matthew 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. And then after seeing what you do, they'll glorify God." And so we recognize it. Jesus makes some strange statements to his disciples that got their attention, but they didn't even understand. He said, "When I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you came and ministered to me." And the disciples looked at him and said, "Jesus, when did we see you in those conditions? When did we come and visit you when we were in prison? I don't remember you being in prison. When did you do it?" And Jesus said, "As you've done it to the least, you've done those things to me. You have demonstrated your love." So in reality, what you and I are finding out is how we treat everyone else is the demonstration of what God's done for us. The true demonstration of saying, "I love you," cannot just be in word, but must be in deed. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It must be how we really do. Now, you guys know that sometimes we put our church faces on. You know what that's all about. Husbands and wives get in a little bit of an argument on their way to church. The kids act up in the back seat. And you look in the back seat at those kids and say, "You better shut your mouth right now." Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know you guys never done that, right? "I'm going to get you to church. I'm going to take you outside. I'm going to tan the backside of you. You better just..." And when you get in that church, you put a smile on your face. And you tell that... I'm telling you right now, you get in that church, you don't do one thing. You smile. And you're like, "Hey, everyone!" You guys know what I'm talking about now, right? And sometimes what we find is we serve one another that way as well. We're reluctant, and sometimes because we are tainted, because we've tried to do things that are nice and kind, and yet in our doing, sometimes those things have been rejected, or sometimes things have been put down, and you get yourself to a place where I'm never going to do another good thing for no one ever again. And sometimes we go into places of business. And I like people to give good service. Anybody like good service? Yes. I like people to get good service, but sometimes people, you'll go into a place and you have no idea what kind of a day that individual's had that is going to wait on you or serve you. That person's at the cash register, or that person that's bringing you something to eat, and they're sour and they're in a bad mood. And immediately, you if you're not careful, you just go right into that, and you're all of a sudden thinking, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Because it breeds itself, and you all of a sudden but what, you don't have no idea what they faced before they got there that day. You don't know that they just got a PG&E notice that said it's going to be shut off at the end of the day. You don't know that they just got another negative report just told to them, and it's soured their day. And I believe that God wants you and I to make a difference. Everybody say, make a difference. I believe God wants things to be turned around. God wants you to do something that will change that. How many have this just came out on the news. This last week they had a man that walked into different Starbucks. And when he walked in there, he started handing out $100 bills. He handed them out to everyone behind the counter. And then he started going around and handing them out to everybody that was. Wouldn't you like to have been in Starbucks that day? Anybody besides Linda? Would that not have been amazing? I mean, he just went, those are just random acts of kindness. See, oftentimes if we're not careful, we only do the things that we do in order to get something in return. But how many would believe and agree with me this morning that God wants you to do a random act of kindness that has nothing to benefit you in doing? You simply do it. How many like to see a contagious work that people just start doing those types of things? I shared this in our first service. I see Jessica King is here with us in our second service. I mentioned this. I remember times where Jessica has been in line at McDonald's. And she'll hand a sum of dollars to the cashier at McDonald's and said, just pay for those that are following behind me, as many as this will take care of. And she drives out. They have no idea who just paid for that, but they go up and they order their whatever they get and find out the person that was just in line ahead of them paid for them to have something to eat. And sometimes what happens is they'll get up to a person and they'll say, listen, this was paid for, and they'll hand money to the cashier and say, well, take care of the ones behind me as well. And it starts what you know to be called a chain reaction. A chain reaction. How many believe that God wants us to start a chain reaction? That God wants you and I to not just say that I love the world, but we would demonstrate the love that God has. See, I'm beginning to see something that I believe in the spirit of what God is looking for you and I to be as a church. I believe that God's not looking necessarily because we count things, we examine things a whole different way than God does. I believe that we sometimes look at things that are very superficial. We might see something, well, now that's a mature believer. When in reality, they may not be mature at all. But God looks at the heart. God sees the intent. I'm reminded of the time when Jesus is at the seat of the customs, and all of the people begin to bring their giving into the house of the Lord, and they begin to plant their big dollar bills because they had a lot of money, and God was not impressed by that at all. Can I hear an amen? And there was a woman that was a widow, and she went and threw her life savings in the offering, but it was only just amounted to pennies. And Jesus saw what she gave was more than all of them, and it began to trouble him. How did she give the most? Did you not see what she gave? And he said, you don't understand. All these other givers, they gave from abundance that they had. They didn't give anything in comparison. But this one woman, how many want to be that one individual that God looks at and says, man, now that's an offering. Now that's worship. Now that's trust. Now that's giving. A random act of kindness. How many remember some weeks back? Don't get scared yet. I gave you guys a challenge. I gave you a 24-hour challenge. How many remember that challenge? About a dozen of you. I gave you, yeah, Bo, you didn't take that challenge. You were happy not to take it. I gave a 24-hour challenge that you were not to say anything negative to or negative about anyone. I had people come up to me and tell me that was the longest 24 hours of their life. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. How many will receive a challenge this morning? I'm really hoping for 100%. I really am. I do have a plan here. I do have a plan here. I want to challenge everyone that hears me this morning to do one random act of kindness. That's easy. That's easy, because I'm going to give you some ideas in a few moments too. But I'm going to ask you to do one random act of kindness every day this week. Now, you know what's so funny? As I start hearing the sighs, I asked for one act of kindness a day. Every day. I'm only asking you to do one act of kindness. And I got people, oh my God, one. I got to be kind once a day. Now, you got to do this over and above what you would normally do. Right? If you normally make breakfast on Monday, then making breakfast is not considering that one act of kindness if that's what you normally do. Just so you know, Bo. This is over and above what you would normally do. You say, well, what kinds of things can we do? Let me give you a few ideas. Some of you cannot afford this, but some of you can. I challenge you to walk up to somebody's table that you don't know the people in a restaurant and just pick up their tab and pay for it. That's a random act of kindness. I challenge you at the coffee place just to go to pay for somebody's coffee when they're there. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to go buy a card and give it to a stranger. You know, we were just in Louisiana last week. My brother and our wives were there. And one of the things I noticed about Louisiana versus California, we're not all that friendly. Has anybody ever noticed that? I mean, it was amazing. We stayed at a hotel. I don't know. Did you guys notice how friendly those people were? I mean, they acted like they really liked us. You know, it was amazing. They were so friendly. I mean, they were just like, oh, no, let me do that for you. Oh, no, let me get that. Oh, no, and they were smiling like they liked me. Well, the airport was another story. That's true. They just flew them in. But there was something about a genuineness. How many believe we ought to be genuine? We ought to be real. Now, I believe in the early church. I believe what made a difference, and in fact, I believe in the book of Acts, what turned the world upside down was these who found Christ begin to demonstrate the love that God had for them, for others. Somebody believe that with me. And I believe that them loving people the way God loved them is what caused the gospel to grow in all the regions and the areas, and the churches was just bouncing and growing everywhere because people were loving people. Amen. Now I got to thinking about one act of kindness for everyone that's here. Because when you first start thinking about it, it's like that young man that goes up to the wall and starts painting it with white paint. You know, you could imagine if that young man, especially he was being ridiculed by those behind him, right? But if that young man had started painting that wall by himself, that would have taken him a very long time, wouldn't it? But you know, when the young girl came up, and then as others begin to run to that wall, how many realize that many hands make work very light? All of a sudden, when you've got a lot of people doing the exact same thing, you know what's a sad statement to me? I do feel this, is when people say, oh, you go to church. And they're almost disgusted by the idea that you must be a believer because of the way you've treated them or the way you act. But if we can turn that around, and if every one of you, and I'm going to ask for the commitment from every single one of you, if every one of us here, what happened? I got everyone but Bo. Hopefully I'll have everyone but Bo. And maybe through peer pressure, Bo will also accept this challenge. How many will give some peer pressure to Bo? Anyone here? Come on, we got to get some peer pressure here. But I just wonder if we could take all of our random acts of kindness and we accept the challenge, so tomorrow we have a congregation doing something kind for somebody else with no expectation of return. What will that do to the kingdom of God? And then start multiplying it. Are you guys getting the understanding? Tuesday we do it. And then Wednesday we do it. And Thursday we do it. And Friday we do it. And Saturday we do it. And next Sunday we do it. I honestly believe, do you believe with me? That doing those types of things will give the message stronger than anyone else. Just read this on Facebook, and I've used this saying many times. I believe D.L. Moody was the originator of this statement. He said, if you're going to preach the gospel, preach it with all your heart and with all of your might. And if necessary, use words. If necessary, use words. In other words, I believe that if we are truly the body of Christ, it's somebody's, my phone, the phone for me, I don't know. But I believe that if we all do that, I honestly believe that we will take the message of Christ in how we love people and we'll make such an impact. I want to start a revolution. Don't you want to start a revolution? A revolution of kindness. A revolution of love where people absolutely see us. And I would love, wouldn't you, if people say, where do you go to church? And you say, well, we're a part of PBFC. What a statement would that make to people that desperately need just a random act of kindness? And there's so many things that you can do. Many more things than things that are monetary. How many realize? Just a kind word. Amen. Just walk up to somebody that's having a tough time and ask them, can I pray with you? You know, just smiling to somebody. Just letting somebody know that you care about them and really mean it, guys. Are you hearing me this morning? I mean, really mean it. Don't just say it for the sake of saying it, but I'm talking about putting into action who we are as the body of Christ. If we are, in fact, His body. Somebody said one time, Daniel, if you'll come. Somebody said one time, if we are all that God has, is God in trouble? I don't believe it. See, I'm not one to believe the church is a dying institution. I believe the church is alive and well. I believe the church is growing every day. How many believe that? My Bible tells me that God is adding to the church daily those who should be saved. And I'm convinced He's transforming lives one after another. How many would say in 2014, some of you may have had a rough year, but how many would agree with me, God has been so good this year? Do you agree with that? Give the Lord a wonderful hand clap of praise. Hasn't God been amazing? Some of you have gone through some dark times in this year, and God has showed up in the middle of your darkness and turned things around, hasn't He? Some of you have gone through even decisions that you made that were difficult decisions that you made, and they were wrong even. And God still brought you out on the other end of that. And you're still seeing victory and transformation. Is anybody glad this morning you're not who you used to be? Is anybody glad that God is still transforming you today? That He's changing you? All right, so now I ask you guys the question. I'm looking for 100%. I may just stay talking until I get it. I want 100%. How many will do one act of random act of kindness this next week? I'm looking. Do I have 100%? Bo, do I have it? Are you going to do it, Bo? Are you going to do it, Bo? Bo, are you going to do it? Bo, I want you to stand. You to stand up. Stand up, Bo. All right, give Bo a hand because we need that. Daniel, are you going to do a random act of kindness every day next week? What? You gave the shoulder? Okay, but you are going to do it? You guys have no idea how hard that's going to be. Stand with me this morning. We've accepted your responsibility to us as a church to love you with everything that we are. That love is a response to your love. And so we are learning and getting the revelation of how much you love us. And we know that it is because of your goodness that we've changed our mind in repentance. We've turned from our sin and turned our affection and our desires towards you. And in response to what you've done in us and through us, we demonstrate that love now toward others. God, we don't want to be selfish. We want to do everything that we do and become everything that we are in a selfless way. We know that we are the ecclesia, we are the called out bunch. The group of men and women that have been called out of this world to make a difference. God, we've accepted today this challenge. This congregation and our first service congregation have accepted this challenge for this week to do one random act of kindness every single day this week. We believe, God, without question, that you'll be lifted up, that you'll be glorified. Somebody who an act of kindness is done to is going to, at the end of that, say, "Thank you, Jesus. I needed somebody to come by. I needed somebody to minister kindness to me. I needed somebody to touch my life. I needed somebody to smile that way. I needed somebody to make a difference in my life. And you sent somebody my direction." So God, we release every single individual. I pray for the creativity of your Holy Spirit to give us fresh ideas for this week. Things that we can do that would take us out of our comfort zone, God, but would allow us to do something that would make a difference in somebody's life. It doesn't have to be a big thing, just something small. But God, let us impact. God, let us be your hands. Let us be your mouth. Let us be your feet. God, let us experience your heart for humanity. You might be here today. You may say, I've come today, but I've never invited Jesus Christ into my life. Some of the things that you've said, it sounds good, it sounds wonderful, but I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't even know before coming here that I need God in my life. I thought I was doing things really good on my own. I want to encourage you today to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you've never taken time to invite Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to think about making that decision right now. You say, "Well, am I not doing okay?" Well, you may be doing okay in this life, but I can tell you there's better things in store for you. I've never regretted the decision I invited Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And I can assure you today that if you'll invite Christ into your life, you will never, ever regret that decision. You'll always be grateful for the day that you made a decision for Christ. And I must tell you, it's so much more important than this life, because there is an eternity. And you will either live in eternity with God or you will live eternity without God. And the only way to have your eternity with God is through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Calvary was the price. Calvary's cross had to be carried by God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with us today. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you to make a decision right where you're at. And when our congregation prays, I invite you to pray this prayer with us. You may say, "Well, how important is it to pray that prayer?" Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10 that we confess Christ Jesus with our mouth. And we believe that God raised Christ from the dead with our heart. For with a mouth we confess and with a heart we believe. So that's our prayer today, that you will pray with us. And if you're ready to do that, our congregation is going to pray after me, and you just join with them. But I want you to mean it. Don't just make it something coming from your lips. I want you to think about what you're asking God to do. I want you to make it meaningful. Because I'm going to be asking you in this prayer to make some promises to God. I want you to be ready to do that. Can I tell you, the relationship with God is full of promises. He's made promises to us, and in response to those promises, we make promises back. God is looking for your life to be committed to Him. And God sincerely wants a relationship with you. Congregation, pray with me. Heavenly Father, today I receive your Son, the gift of Christmas. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in humanity, paid a price on Calvary, taking all of man's sins and dying there. And 3 days later, rising from the grave in the power of the Holy Spirit. I receive Jesus as my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Change my thoughts. Transform my life from this day forward. Dear God, I give you my life, everything that I am. Use me for your glory. I promise today, from this day forward, that I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a wonderful hand clap of praise. Amen. If you would like special prayer today, I'd love to meet you up here. Please